How will Skagway's newly elected leaders influence waterfront lease talks? And a Haines Forum looks at the possible economic benefits and environmental impacts of a potential Chilkat Valley mine. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. This Thursday is the first assembly meeting for newly elected Skagway officials. One major question is how the new members will influence ongoing waterfront lease talks. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
Earlier this month, Skagway elected two Tidelands lease opponents. Write-in candidate Monica Carlson ousted incumbent Mayor Mark Schaefer. She is moving from an appointed assembly seat to the mayor's chair. As an assembly member, Carlson has been the most outspoken against a new 15-year Tidelands lease with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. Here she is at a September meeting.
We own the waterfront and we need to act like it.
But Carlson says if the assembly chooses to continue its pursuit of the new lease, she'll abide by that direction and work to make the document favorable to Skagway. Write-in candidate David Brenna topped the assembly race. This was his third time running for office on a platform of opposition to an extended White Pass lease. At a recent meeting, he pointed to what some see as White Pass's delay of ore basin contamination cleanup.
You know, everybody likes the White Pass. You know, I worked for him many, many years from the time I was 14 years old, but I'm not in favor of giving him a gift, and I'm certainly not in favor of negotiating with somebody that holds something like the cleanup of the harbor over our heads if we don't give them a lease.
Longtime public servant Dan Henry was narrowly elected to the second assembly seat. He has refused to give his opinion on the lease. He says it doesn't matter what he thinks because if the assembly does move an agreement forward, it will go to voters to decide. This isn't the first time Skagway officials have been immersed in lease talks with White Pass, but now there is a heightened sense of urgency. Skagway is at risk of missing out on larger cruise ships if it doesn't build a new floating dock soon. That's according to the Cruise Lines International Association, which told Skagway leaders to expect larger vessels by 2019. Port consultants say the ore dock is the best place to add that required infrastructure, but White Pass has a lease on that city property until 2023. White Pass agreed to cooperate on the floating dock if the city approves a new 15-year lease. That would extend the railroad's control of the ore dock and Broadway dock Tidelands until 2038. At the last assembly meeting, members were frustrated by the most recent communication from White Pass. The railroad had crossed out sections of the working proposal that assembly members see as essential to the city's interests. Here's Orion Hansen.
It's kind of a ping pong ball that's being batted back and forth right now. And at a certain point, you know, our timeline is up. And if we're not going to make an action, then we move forward and we go in a different direction. And I think with what White Pass responded, that's just a volley coming back. It's not really going any closer.
The discussion will continue at this Thursday's assembly meeting with the newly elected officials. The draft memorandum of understanding is one of just three business items on the agenda. The meeting is Thursday at 7 p.m. in assembly chambers. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
A potential hard rock mine has raised a lot of questions for residents of the Chilkat Valley. As mineral exploration continues in the Haines area, the community is learning more about the potential benefits and environmental consequences. A two-day mining forum in Haines addressed some of those issues. Mineral exploration in Haines Upper Valley is known as the Palmer Project. The Canadian company Constantine Metal Resources is trying to determine whether a mine is feasible. The company says they've found promising deposits of minerals containing zinc and copper, as well as some gold and silver. If a mine went forward, it would likely be a boom for Haines' economy, but it would also come with serious environmental risks. At a recent forum, residents heard from several different voices in the conversation. Russ White is a local geologist. He explained where Constantine stands in determining the feasibility of a mine. White said right now the company has what are called inferred resources.
You have a lower confidence that they're really there. You've done some drilling, you know there's mineralization there, but your drill spacing is too wide to be able to say that it's continuous between your drill holes. That's the stage that they're at Constantine right now.
Because of that, White said it's unclear when Constantine will make a decision on whether to go forward with the mine. Liz Cornejo with Constantine described the mineralization the company has found.
We've got areas that are thick, they're continuous, they're high grade, and vertical is a good geometry for mining. So for us, it's worthy of more investigation. And in 2017, we were successful in drilling more of that mineralization, so we've been expanding this area off to the west. And we also made a new discovery out here at a prospect called the Nunatak, and we're calling it the AG zone. So this is another area that may develop into a deposit.
Cornejo said the deposits that have been discovered are amenable to underground mining methods. Jacinda Mack is the coordinator of First Nations Women Advocating Responsible Mining, an organization focused on mining reform in British Columbia. Mack's home and community were directly affected by the Mount Polley mine disaster, a tailing spill in 2014.
We have this real conflicting worldviews when we're trying to deal with these operations, because what's good for the mine is not necessarily what's good for the people. What's not necessarily what's good for the land.
Max said the negative effects of the environmental disaster are lasting, impacting their food sources and nearby water. The most vocal concern among Haines residents is that the potential Palmer Project mine will cause damage to commercial and subsistence fisheries. The exploration is upstream from the Klehini and Chilkat rivers, and there's already local opposition mounting to protect the salmon-bearing waters from potential pollution. The Chilkat Indian Village of Klukwan nominated the Chilkat River for special protection. That application is pending with the state. So how do you help mitigate environmental concerns, like tailing spills and acid rock drainage? Kendra Zamzow with the Center for Science and Public Participation said it's important to be aware of the risks.
Accidents happen, human error happens. So a lot of things happen, and this is why you need to think ahead, plan ahead, back up, and back up your backups.
She said there are three things that define a high-risk mine.
The sulfide ore, which you've heard some about, and I'll talk a little more about that. The volume of the ore, the more you bring out, the more waste there is to manage, and it just adds a little bit more potential for error. And the hydrology is huge. The ability of water to move, to leach contaminants and move contaminants in a wet area, whether it's a wetland or a high precipitation area, is vastly different than if you're in a dry area.
With risks and environmental concerns in mind, the development would likely come with economic benefits. Jim Calvin with the McDowell Group talked about what an active mine could look like for the Haines economy.
We don't have any notion of precisely what the employment footprint might be for a Haines area mine, but again, if we use Greens Creek and Pogo and Kensington as a guide, we can think about 300 jobs. That'd be 300 over the course of the year. This is once the mine is up and operating, not thinking about the construction phase. Again, with a conservative estimate of what the annual average wage might be for that workforce, that's about $30 million in annual wages for that workforce.
Much of the talk at the forum was hypothetical. Constantine is still in the exploration stage. Whether or not the Palmer Project will become a mine and what company would operate it is still unclear. If the project does advance to the mine plan stage, there will be more definitive answers about how environmental risks and other concerns would be addressed. A Haines teenager allegedly shot a black bear from a boat in late September. The adult who owns the boat is being charged for his alleged involvement in the illegal kill. Alaska wildlife troopers claim that on September 22nd, a 15-year-old shot a black bear from a boat on a lake in the Haines area. 35-year-old Christopher Panagiotos Gigliano, the boat owner, is being cited for aiding and facilitating the teenager's illegal harvest. His arraignment is set for October 30th in Haynes Court. The trooper dispatch does not name the teenager or say whether he is being charged. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.